I driving too fast?
No, I like speed. You can go faster if you want.
Do you realize this is the first time I've ever driven you? You've never let me drive before.
Was that in my car?
Yeah.
I don't usually like other people driving my car. That was the Audi, wasn't it?
I think so.
Or the Peugeot.
I can't remember.
No, neither can I.
Are you comfortable enough, Richard?
Yeah, I'm okay. I need to walk for a bit. The hip stiffens up if I sit too long.
There's a service area in a mile or two. You can take a break. Do you remember any of this?
I mean, driving on motorways. Well, I remember the M4, of course. I broke down here once a few years ago. I was going the other way to a job in Bristol. I've been to the services here many times. I'll know how to find my flat when we get to London. I remember how to cook, how to use a camera, how to brush my teeth, take a bath.
Go on. You never talked like this before, about what you can remember.
It's not something I give much thought to. Not like that, anyway, making two lists. You know, sorting my memories out so that I can remember all these, but none of those. My mind doesn't work that way.
I thought the hospital gave you therapy.
Not for that. Anyway, what about you? Could you make a list of everything you can remember?
Of course not.
Well, then.
I know you can't remember me.
That's not strictly true.
Yes, it is. When I walked in, you said you thought I was from a newspaper.
That's because you were with the reporter.
Yeah, but afterwards too.
Well, there are gaps, but I'm learning. It's not easy.
Do you want a meal, or shall we just have a cup of tea?
I'm fairly hungry.
Yeah, me too. I'll park as close to the restaurant as I can.
Look out!
Ah! Sorry! Oh, are you all right, Richard? I'm sorry.
I thought you'd seen him.
We were talking. I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, you were staring straight at him. I was wondering what you were doing.
I didn't notice. I thought he must have seen us coming.
He saw us, all right.
I'm sorry, Richard.
Okay. As I helped you out of the car, I couldn't help thinking it was like being with an old man. You leant on your stick as I looked up. Then you leant on me as we went into the restaurant. Yet only a few weeks ago. Of course, it was different then. They told me you were only a few feet away when the bomb went off. You and eight other people. Although three of them weren't even as lucky as you. Until the car bomb, terrorism has always been something that happened to other people. This time it was personal. Happened to the man I loved. Whose only crime was to be walking down the wrong street at the wrong moment. Oh, Richard. I've seen the scars. I can't feel your pain. But I've seen the scars. We both know they'll heal. That you'll walk without a stick one day. But for now, I have to see past your bent shape. To the young man I fell in love with.
Are you looking forward to being back at your flat?
I suppose so.
It's been a long time since you were there.
Yes, but that's not it. There's a gap. I remember when I bought the place. It had just been modernised and it was empty. Well, that's how I see it now.
You've been living there for some time when I met you.
It's all mixed up. The day I moved in is a strong memory. I put the carpets at the back of the van so they were the last to be unloaded. I had to move all the furniture again so I could get them down. But as you say, I must have been living in the flat for some time. It's all vague now.
Perhaps when you see it...
You haven't been back there by any chance? While I was in hospital?
No.
No, I hadn't been to your flat. I was too busy trying to keep my head above water. All the bomb victims had been moved to country hospitals. You were taken to Bath. But it meant every visit to see you was time I wasn't working. There was no time to go to your flat. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Except that you should remember me and why we fell in love. The only thing that matters about your flat is that it was the first place in which we made love. And it was a place Niall never followed us. Niall. Do you remember him, Richard? How I wish we could all forget Niall.
It's your place. You go first. I'll bring some of this mail.
Can you get the other keys for me in my back pocket?
Yeah, keep still. Okay.
At the top, you need two hands to get the door open. It's a bit stiff.
Move to one side, then.
God, I never realised how steep these steps are.
All right. I can get the door for you.
We walked into the flat. I was watching you to see how you reacted. We were often happy here, in this flat at the top of the stairs, in an ordinary house in an ordinary street in West Hampstead. I followed you as you opened the doors to the three main rooms, still waiting to see some recognition in your eyes. In each room, you glanced round and then backed out again without touching anything. We went through into your living room, and I put down the heap of letters I'd picked up.
Something's different. It's been moved around.
What?
Well, I know it sounds crazy.
Everything's the same.
No, the flat's different. I felt it as soon as we came in. Sue, come here. There's a room missing, down the end of the hall, next to the bathroom. There was a spare room.
I don't remember that.
Well, I've always had four rooms. The living room, the bedroom, the office where I kept my cameras, and a spare. Somebody was living here, I think. No, that's not right. Oh, God, am I going mad?
Well, if you are, I am too. There can't be another room. It's a blank wall. Well,
the doorway must have been blocked off. See, look, there's a sort of line up there and across.
Just a crack, isn't it?
I think that's where the door used to be.
No, it's too low. Is there a room on the other side of this?
Well, there must be.
But there wasn't another room. Couldn't be another room. I looked out through the window in your office, and the wall that you said had an old doorway looked like an exterior wall to me. Later, when there was nothing more we could say about the missing room, we went to search for your car.
This is your road, isn't it?
Yeah.
The car must be here somewhere. The last time I drove it was to see you.
Was it the Audi, dark red?
A brown, really.
I'd have noticed it if it was here.
I remember definitely. I parked outside your flat. There happened to be a space just there, where the Mini is.
Are you sure it's not in your garage?
Eh?
You used to rent a lock-up garage, in the road behind where you live.
No, it's here. It must be. Can you remember how to find the garage?
Yeah. But since we're here, I'll, pick up a change of clothes. I had to be alone for a few moments, Richard. The doctors have warned me that you take a few weeks to settle down, that some of the lapses would seem very odd. I went into my bedsit, just the ground floor room in a house full of bedsits. I briefly shut my eyes and tried to relax. I was thinking of you, Richard. But a lot had changed. I desperately wanted to recapture what had happened between us last summer. Being in the room reminded me of all that. But it also made me think of Niall.
Niall, are you here? Please, if you're here... I have to be sure.
Cheers.
I like being here, close to you, in your place. I always like this room.
I like what we do in it.
You never did redecorate, though. Said you were going to.
Did I? I don't remember that.
You said you put up some wallpaper, paint it a lighter colour.
Why? Looks all right to me.
Don't you remember any of this?
Have we talked about this before? The colour of my walls?
You said you got your memory back.
Well, I have, but I can't remember every tiny detail.
This isn't a detail.
But what can it matter, Sue?
How many more tiny details have you forgotten?
I don't know. I don't care much. When you've been through what I've been through, details don't count for much. For several days, the only detail I cared about was whether I was going to live or not.
I'm sorry.
And after that, I was told I might not walk again, and even if I did, I might always be with crutches. And even if I felt okay about that, there'd always be the burns.
Look, I wish I hadn't started this. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I know I'm having trouble with my memory, but not all of it matters.
Richard, I'm sorry. I'll shut up about it.
Some of it does matter, though. I need you to help me.
I suppose that's what I'm trying to do. Find out what's important and what isn't.
All right, but can you tell the difference?
Some things matter to me. How we met, for example.
When you turned up at the hospital, I thought, I know her. I couldn't go any further.
So I could have been some female who decided to march in and claim you.
If you want to put it that way, yes.
Richard, this was my chance to let the past go. You knew nothing about it, and I wanted to be rid of it. A clean slate lay before me, a new beginning. As we sprawled together on your bed, I knew this chance was there. How tempting it was. But even as we spoke, I was thinking, there was still the glamour between us. We could try again. This time, Niall won't interfere. Was I fooling myself to think I could have a life without the glamour? The meaning of the word has changed. It now means beauty and fame. But in the old days, when the word was first used, a glamour was a spell or an evil enchantment. But why did you know nothing about it? How deep was the damage done to you? Was the glamour blasted away with your memories?
Look, I can remember more than you think. We went on holiday together last summer. It was soon after we met. Too soon, I think, because you had some other man on your mind. You told me it was finished, but it wasn't true. You kept rowing about him.
Do you remember his name?
Niall.
Oh, so you do. Can you remember anything else about him?
I never actually saw him, I'm glad to say.
Say that again.
I never met Niall.
No, what you said about seeing him.
Well, I've no idea what he looked like. You weren't very keen on us meeting. Is he still around?
No. I never see him these days.
Then since I have you to myself, shall we turn out the light?
You don't seem to have forgotten how to do that.
If you spend several weeks on your back, you don't think about much else.
Richard, do you remember the glamour?
Not that again.
So it means something to you?
No.
Invisibility. That's what other people call the glamour. Do you remember?
I don't want to. It's impossible.
You said this before, last summer. You wouldn't believe. But it's true.
Invisible people? You can't be serious.
That man today at the motorway services, do you remember? I nearly ran him over. And you thought I hadn't seen him.
Well, you were too busy talking.
No. I hadn't seen him. You were right. He was someone with a glamour.
Come back to bed.
No. I've got to show you.
What are you doing?
I'm looking for something bright coloured, a shirt or a pullover. I found what I was looking for in the top drawer of the chest. It was a sweater, a rich royal blue in colour. I bunched it up against my face. It smelt a little musty, but it also smelled of you. It gave me a strange and dangerous feeling to hold it. I never wore dark or prominent colours, anything that would draw attention to myself. The thought of wearing it was a little shocking. I pulled it over my head and wrestled it on. I felt the prickle of the coarse weave against my bare skin.
Look at me, Richard. Watch everything I do.
What are you up to, Sue?
Look at the sweater. See how dark it is. Watch the colour.
Please don't do this.
But now I'd started, I wouldn't stop. I was concentrating on the glamour, making myself invisible so you'd see. I felt excitement rising in me. It was always like this, thrilling and risky, like stripping off in front of strangers. This was what you'd forgotten, Richard, that I could make myself invisible to you. You stared at where I'd been, under the overhead light, but I was no longer there. I was standing by the window off to one side of you. I called your name, but you couldn't hear me. I moved again, crossing the room so that I passed in front of you, but still you couldn't see me. I pulled off your old blue sweater and threw it on the bed beside you. This made you jump because suddenly you could see it. I was now naked again, and I stood beside you, letting the cloud of invisibility swirl gently away.
I'm still here.
What are you doing?
Didn't you see?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Richard, listen. This is what happened to us.
Do you want another drink?
I haven't finished this one, Niall. Do you have another if you want one?
Come on, I'm tired of this place. Let's find somewhere else.
I like it here.
I don't like the beer. And no one's smoking gold wine.
Never bothered you before. Steal another brand. I'd like to stay.
I know what you're up to. Don't waste your time.
There we were. Niall and I. Two ordinary people out for a Saturday night in the pub. Ordinary but invisible people. Stealing drinks from behind the bar. Pinching cigarettes from other people's packets. We sat there at a table in the corner, feeling clever because no one noticed us. Not that there was any point to it, but simply because we could. That's what invisibility meant to us. The freedom not to be noticed. Anyone could see us if they knew where to look, because we were as solid as everyone else. But Niall and I had the glamour. That's what he called it. The glamour was a talent for being unnoticed. And then you were suddenly there in the pub. And both Niall and I knew you were the same. You had the talent too. You were glamorous.
He's only half like us. Not the same.
Are you jealous, Niall?
Not of him.
Then why don't we go across and say hello?
Because we don't know him and we've nothing to say to him. Anyway, he's with a girl.
That shouldn't make any difference to you.
Oh, if you want to make a fool of yourself.
But you're always saying we should contact every invisible person we find.
Not that one. It's not the same with him. He's only half invisible.
That's what I find so interesting. I'll get another round. You look as if you want one. I grabbed both our glasses and before Niall could argue, walked away from the table. I wanted to find out if you could see me. I pushed my way deliberately between you and your girlfriend, forcing you both to step back, shifting position to make way for me. But beyond this, neither of you really noticed me. Niall was right. I could sense the glamour of you, like one animal senses another. And the feel of it was like an electrical charge. But you couldn't see me, like most people couldn't see me. Satisfied for the moment, I went behind the counter of the pub and helped myself to two more drinks. The barman was in the middle of serving some other people. I put money in the till and then carried the glasses back to the table.
What are you up to, Susan?
Just looking. Had to be sure.
Look, it's none of your business. You're with me. I don't want you sniffing around other men.
You are jealous.
What do you expect? Do you want me to go out and chat up his girlfriend?
You couldn't and you wouldn't. She'd never see you. And that's why you're not interested. She's normal.
What are you doing, Susan?
Letting myself be seen.
Don't make yourself visible here.
I'm going to the ladies. Don't worry about it. I left him for the second time. And as I crossed the crowded room, I could feel myself becoming visible. I glanced back at Niall. He'd already drunk too much and was slipping away. It was one of the things I didn't like about him. He couldn't hold his drink. And then he was almost impossible to see. Even I could barely see him. Going to the ladies was only a pretext. But I went inside, counted to 10, and then returned to the main bar. I pushed my way through the crowd and stood beside you again, pressing against your arm.
Sorry, are you trying to get past?
I'm trying to get some change for the cigarette machine. Would you have some?
The bar staff will give it to you.
Yeah, but they're busy at the moment.
Well, that's all I've got.
Oh, okay. Sorry to trouble you.
All right. Nice to meet you.
And you.
Will you quit doing this, Susan?
I'm not doing anything wrong.
Drink up, we're leaving.
Well, you go where you want. I want to stay a bit longer.
I'm not leaving without you.
Then do whatever you like. Niall, come back! But the truth was, I was glad he left. When I was sure he'd gone, I went over to where I'd seen you. You and your girlfriend were still standing by the bar, but now your faces were close together. You were making her laugh. I stood there in the crowd, as visible as everyone else, but invisible to you because you were so involved with her. Just then, one of the barmen rang the bell for time. Your girlfriend said something to you and you nodded and picked up your drink. She moved away, pushed politely past me and went towards the ladies. This was the only chance I had.
Excuse me. I think I know you, don't I?
No, it's you. Still trying to get some change?
No, it's all right. I thought we might know each other already. I made a mistake.
I don't think we've met.
I was wondering. You'll think I'm awful. But do you ever come here on your own?
I could do.
I'll be here again, later in the week. On Wednesday evening.
I could be here too. What do you want?
I'm curious about you. Do you know why?
No.
But you will be here.
Well, you'll have to wait and see.
See? You said see. Do you mean...
What's going on?
Nothing. I thought you were telling me something. Take no notice. I'm a bit nervous, chatting up a stranger.
Ah, is that what you're doing?
I think I must be. Well, see you on Wednesday.
Now, you said it too. See you.
I backed away from you, blushing and feeling like a fool. If I could have gone back and wiped out everything I said, I would have done so. I went outside and stood in the car park, feeling the night air cold against my back and face. I was running with sweat. I'd acted like a teenager, barging up to you, demanding a date. Why did you agree? Did you feel you had to humour me? But even while I was stood there, wincing at myself, I was elated. You'd looked at me as a normal person. You'd seen me. And you'd said yes. I knew nothing about you. Your name, your age, your job, where you lived. All I knew was that you were the same as me. Half in and half out of the glamorous world. Niall held me back. Niall wanted me to stay invisible forever. But you... Somehow you were living a normal life in the real world. I wanted to know you. So that I could find out how.
Susan!
What? Niall?
Susan, look at me.
Niall, is that you? Where are you?
I don't want you to see me. Not unless you give this up. Why are you interested in that man?
Don't start that again. Niall, let me see you.
You know how to do it? When you make yourself as invisible as me, you'll be able to see me.
No, I'm not prepared to do that.
Then you know the score. I'll be here, watching and waiting.
Don't do this to me. Where are you now? Niall! Don't hide from me! Niall! Please! Hello?
Susan, this is Niall.
Where have you been? You really scared me hiding like that. Why did you
do that? I thought you'd like to know his name's Richard Gray.
What?
Your friend in the pub. Richard Gray.
No,
He works for BBC News. He's a cameraman. He's 28 years old, lives in West Hampstead. And that was his steady girlfriend. Do you want to know her name too?
No. No, how the hell do you know this? Are you making it up?
You'll find out if you see him again.
That's my business.
And mine too. Everything you do is my business, which is why I'm ringing. I'm going away for a while.
Where to?
France. Some friends of mine have a house in the south. I'll be staying with them for a week or two.
All right. That's a good idea.
Do you want to come with me?
You know I've a lot of work to do.
You're going to be seeing Richard Gray?
I might be.
When's that going to be? This evening, isn't it? Back there in the pub? That's what you agreed with him, wasn't it?
Niall, were you listening?
I might have been.
That was the moment when I began to realise what Niall was capable of doing. He boasted to me once that he could make himself so invisible no one at all could see him. Not even other people with a glamour, not even me. I hadn't believed him then. But as I stood there in the hallway, fear ran through me. If he'd meant it, Niall could be anywhere at any time. He must have been standing there when I went up to you in the pub. He must have listened. And how had he found out about you? Your name, where you worked? He must have been following you. What else had he been doing? How long did you say you'd be gone?
A couple of weeks, maybe more. I'll call you when I get back.
When will that be?
Why should you want to know? If I can get to a phone, I'll call you when I arrive. Or send you a postcard.
Who are these people you're staying with? I mean, do I know them?
Well, you might. But I'm going to hang up now. We're leaving in an hour.
If you're thinking of interfering, I'll never speak to you again.
You've nothing to worry about. You won't see me for a while.
Because of Niall, because of his phone call, I was unable to work for the rest of the afternoon. I left home too early and had to hang around. I bought myself a glass of wine and sat alone at a small table beside the door. You arrived a few minutes later and noticed me at once.
Oh, there you are.
Oh, hello.
Can I get you another drink?
No, thanks. Not yet.
I was wondering if you'd be here.
You must think I'm mad coming up to you like that.
What was going on?
It was a mistake. I thought I recognised you.
No, you didn't. What was really going on?
Well, you know, I wanted to meet you. Don't make me spell it out. I'm still embarrassed about it.
Okay, I'm sorry. You don't have to explain. We don't even know each other's names.
Pleased to meet you. I'm Sue, Susan Cooley.
Richard. Richard Gray.
Yes. I mean, hello.
Do I call you Sue or Susan?
Everyone calls me Sue. What about you? Is it always Richard?
Yeah, I don't like the short forms of Dick, Rick, Ricky.
What about Rich?
Ugh, that too. Well, what do you want to do for the rest of the evening?
It's up to you.
I'm hungry. Have you had a meal yet?
It was like my first date all over again. I was 27 and I never had a first date. My invisible life had seen to that. And Niall. We left the pub and went to an Indian restaurant across the road. I found myself able to stay visible without too much effort. It was easier with you there. You kept looking at me. I'd never known anyone who looked at me so often, so frankly. I was used to a more furtive world, where invisible people avoided each other's eyes. The evening slipped by all too quickly. Then we were driving in your car towards my bedsit. I was wondering what to do when we got there. Should I invite you in or shouldn't I? But you kissed me lightly, and we parted like that. It was an ordinary Wednesday night in London, but I felt I'd at last come to life. I could hardly wait for Saturday, because we'd made another date for then.
Hello, yes? All right, hold on. Susan, it's for you.
Thanks. Hello?
How are you, Susan?
Oh, it's you. What do you want? I'm about to go out.
Yes. Richard Gray again, isn't it?
It doesn't matter what I'm doing. Can you call back tomorrow?
I want to talk now. This is long distance. I'm lonely, Susan. I want to see you.
I thought you were with friends. Where are you?
I told you. In the south of France, outside Cassis.
You sound very close. Like a local call.
It's a good line. I'm missing you. Why don't you just drop everything and come and join me?
In France? I've got so much work to do.
You said you were going out with Richard Gray.
Well,
you needn't stay more than a few days.
No, I can't afford a holiday.
You don't need money. Get on the first train or try flying. We never did that, did we? Walking past the security checks and getting on a plane.
This is ridiculous. I can't just drop everything.
Susan, I need you.
Oh, Niall. I'm sorry. I don't know what to say.
Well, you better think of something. Gray's just about to knock on your door.
What? Niall, where are you?
I keep telling you.
I don't believe you.
Then why don't you come here and find out for yourself?
Niall, I... It was you, Richard, as Niall had predicted. How could he have known if he wasn't watching my place from somewhere nearby? That was one of his tricks, to walk into a stranger's house and use a phone. It must have been what he was doing. He was on the other side of the road somewhere. How else would he have known? But why did he keep on with his story about France? He must have known I wouldn't believe him. He was following me around, watching everything, listening to every word I spoke. He even seemed to know what I was thinking. He was crowding me out. Well, it was you. And I was glad to see you. I put Niall out of my mind. We went to a film that evening. Afterwards, you went with me to my room. We stayed up very late, talking and talking. You left in the end, very properly, very chastely. I felt I was being courted. Everything was new to me. We planned to meet again the next day.
I don't believe it. Leave me alone. Go away, Niall.
Somebody pick up that bloody phone.
You get it.
I'm in the door.
Yes?
Susan, it's me.
Go away and leave me alone.
I'm sorry. Don't hang up.
What do you want?
I've rung to apologize for yesterday. It's because you spoke to Richard Gray in the pub that night. You'd rather be with him. I understand, I really do. I don't want to lose you. I suppose I've always known I would one day.
It's complicated. I want to lead a normal life, you know that.
Yeah, amounts to the same.
He's just a friend.
Then if he doesn't matter, why don't you come and see me?
Niall, where are you speaking from? You're in London somewhere.
No, I'm not. I'm in a rented villa on the side of a hill outside Cassis. I'd like you here with me.
Why do you always ring me just before I see Richard?
Well, are you seeing him again today?
I might be.
I expect he's outside your house right now.
What? Can you see him?
I can see everything.
Niall, if you promise to stop doing this to me, I'll come and see you in France.
When?
Straight away, tomorrow.
Sorry, I'm a bit early.
Would you mind waiting in my room? I'm on the phone. I won't be long. It was someone for the girl upstairs.
Don't lie to me, Susan. I know he's there.
Tell me where you are in France. If I came, how would I find you?
Okay, you get to Marseille somehow. There's a bus from the Hotel de Ville. It goes to Toulon, along the coast road. When you get to Cassis, you walk away from the village, following signs to the abbey. You'll see the house after about a mile.
Why are you making all this up?
When will you leave? Tomorrow morning?
I'm sorry, I've had enough of this. I'm going to put the phone down
Not
now.
Yet, Susan.
I've got to go.
No.
Goodbye now. You were standing there, Richard. A few feet away from me, inside my room. I was dying to see you. But instead I went out of the house and stood at the front. I needed a few moments to myself. I looked across at the houses opposite, knowing that he'd probably been phoning me from one of them. Their windows were blank, reflecting the summer sky. Niall was invisible, Richard. He could be anywhere. He could already have left the house he was in and be standing by me. Was I mad to think these things? Surely it was easier to believe he was in France. But if so, how did he know so much about us? I took one more look at the houses across the road, then turned and went back inside. If Niall was beside me, then he would have followed me into the house, into my room, to be standing silently and invisibly beside us as we kissed. I like this room. How long have you lived here?
About a year. It needs a lot of work.
Could change the wallpaper for a start.
Well, what's wrong with it?
I'm just teasing.
I don't get much time for that sort of thing. I'm away from home a lot.
Where do you go to?
Anywhere. Usually anywhere there's likely to be trouble. That's the business I'm in, filming trouble.
Do you work for BBC News?
I used to. I'm freelance now. Means the money's irregular, but I can choose the jobs I go on. There's more variety.
What sort of jobs would you choose?
I like to go abroad. Oh, God.
It was Niall. It had to be. He'd left us alone too long. We'd spent the afternoon as planned, walking on Hampstead Heath, and then we came back here to your flat. As soon as I walked in, I felt safe. I thought, Niall isn't here. He wouldn't dare follow us here. We made love for the first time, and afterwards we sprawled untidily in the bedroom, happy together, until the damn telephone rang.
That's okay, Mick. No, I understand. But I knew it would be difficult. Right. See you. That was about next week. I was supposed to be going to Turkey, but it's been cancelled.
Oh, right.
You okay, sir?
Yeah, fine. So what do you do?
I'll pick up something. I usually ring around a few people, find out what's going on. And I could take a break. I've been busy recently.
Is this the room you work in?
I don't really work anywhere except behind a camera. I call this a study. In fact, I keep my junk in here.
These are cameras. You can't call them junk.
Well, they're all antiques. No, I know they're not junk. I love them. Look at this one. First so-called portable camera that could record sound. It weighs a ton.
What about this?
That's part of an old dolly. A camera support. I'll throw it away. Look at this. Much more interesting. This is the lens that filmed the fire on the airship Hindenburg.
What can I say?
Well, most people say gosh.
Gosh. Here, what's this? An award? You didn't tell me you were famous. Pre-Italia.
Well, that was luck. Anyone could have won it that year.
Richard Gray, camera operator, BBC Television News, Special Award. News filming in circumstances of extreme personal danger. What happened, Richard?
Oh, nothing special. Sort of thing we get into from time to time. Let's go back into the bedroom.
Where was it?
Belfast. A few years ago. Honestly, it was nothing special. A sound recorder was there too. Just a riot.
Just? What happened?
I don't often talk about it.
Oh, go on.
It was part of the job. We took it in turns to go to Northern Ireland. I didn't mind being there. You get problems with every job, don't you? Well, that day, there'd been a Protestant march, and we'd been out for that. In the evening, we were at the hotel having a few drinks. Then word came in that the army was sending in some Saracens to sort out a few kids who were throwing stones in the Falls Road. We were all tired, but in the end, Willie and I, Willie was a sound man, we decided to go and have a look. I loaded the camera with night stock, and one of the army Land Rovers gave us a lift. Didn't look that much. Big bunch of teenagers hurling stuff around. We were behind the troops, fairly well shielded. Nothing else seemed to be going on. These things generally fizzle out around midnight. But then it suddenly got worse. They started throwing petrol bombs. And there were obviously some older men out there too. Am I boring you?
No. Go on.
The army said they were going to break it up. And they fired plastic bullets. But instead of scattering, the kids kept on pelting us. When the troops rushed them, Willie and I went forward with them. That's generally the safest place, behind the troops. We ran about 100 yards and came straight into a Republican ambush. There were snipers in houses, and the side street had a whole gang of people waiting with petrol bombs. Everything went mad. The soldiers were dashing about, and we were in the thick of it. I was filming all the way through. I suppose I got a bit carried away. Nothing hit us, but we had a couple of near misses. Somehow we got in among the people who were shouting at the troops, and we were filming right in front of them. They were too busy to notice us. But then the troops came back with plastic bullets and everyone scattered at last, and we were still there in the middle of it all. Well, we got away in the end, and we had some good footage.
Was that the film where the woman's hair caught fire?
Yeah.
And the one where you see the face of the man who shot the soldier?
Yeah, that was my film.
Oh, no wonder it got an award.
You're embarrassing me.
No, I mean it. I'm impressed. That's an incredible piece of film. I never understood how the man who filmed it wasn't shot dead. But that was you.
Well, I suppose I was lucky.
You said you got carried away. What did you mean?
Sometimes you get so involved with what you're filming that you stop thinking about it. You don't notice what's going on, except what you can see through the viewfinder.
Were you excited?
Yeah, I suppose so.
And no one noticed you?
Not really, no. It was as if I'd become... You know, it was as if they couldn't see me.
Richard, hold me. Everything I'd thought or guessed about you came true in that moment, Richard. I nestled in your arms, and I knew that you must have made yourself invisible that night. You too had the glamour. And also I knew I must never lose you. We'd met in a sort of neutral territory between our two glamorous states. I was invisible most of the time, unless I consciously made myself visible. And you lived a normal life, but in times of stress or need, you could slip temporarily into the unseen world. I loved you already. Now I needed you. You were the link with normality I'd always been seeking. But the problem of Niall still had to be settled.
You all right, Sue?
Of course. Why?
Well, I saw you shuddering.
Oh, someone walked over my grave. I'm glad to be leaving London for a while.
Any idea where you'd like to go?
No. You can take me wherever you like.
Well, we're heading west at the moment. We don't have to.
Anywhere.
Is there someone you want to leave behind?
I was wondering when you'd ask. Yes. What about you?
Not really. Few friends.
What about the woman I saw you with at the pub?
Annette. She's a friend, but not specially.
I thought she was your steady girlfriend.
No. Tell me about the man you've left in London. The one who makes you shudder.
We've been about to split up for months and it's over now. It's hard to explain.
What was his name?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. At least I know why you were so keen to get out of London.
We've only known each other a week or so. If you feel the way I... Well, you know, I'd like to give us a chance. I don't want Niall... Oh, that's his name. Niall. I don't want him hanging around and interfering anymore. He's capable of almost anything.
I know some people in Bristol.
and some others in Somerset. Maybe we could stay overnight with them.
I should have told you then about Niall. That was my chance and I missed it. But tell you about him would have meant telling you about the glamour and my invisible life. I didn't want to go into all that. Remember, I was trying to leave it. But as we drove along that sunny morning, I had no idea of what was soon to happen. If I had, I think I might have told you everything then, while I still thought we were alone.
What?
What happened?
Hi.
Put on the light. No, not yet, don't.
What's going on?
Did you just hit me or drop something on me?
All right.
Something hit me. Look, a bar of soap. It landed on my head.
Are you crazy?
No, look. Would I make this up? Oh, what's that? Under me.
Where? Here, let me. Just the wrapper.
How the hell did it get there? What's going on? Oh, Richard, I'm scared. Hold me.
Shall I turn out the light? Huh?
No.
Neither of us could explain how a brand new bar of soap had landed on me. We lay huddled together on the bed. You fell asleep before I did, but I left the light on for the rest of the night. The next day passed without incident, so did the night. We'd reached the edge of Devon by then, stayed in a small hotel on the edge of Exmoor, miles from anywhere. The remoteness made me feel completely safe, completely alone with you at last. But later, that morning, we were driving west through Devon.
Do we still have those biscuits we bought yesterday?
I think so.
On the back seat.
Thanks. You having one?
All morning I've been thinking about Niall. All morning I've been trying not to think about Niall. When you asked for a biscuit, I had to turn in my seat. The biscuits were on the back seat, on the part that was behind the driver. Every time we loaded the car, we automatically put everything there, leaving the other side empty. There was room for a passenger. I forced myself to look at the place behind the seat. The seat cushion was indented, bearing weight. Niall was there, sitting in the car with us, silently and invisibly.
Oh, Sue, what's the matter? Are you ill?
Stop the car, Richard. Please stop the car.
So... Can I help?
No, I'm just... Give me a moment. Car sick. Too much.
Yeah, get your head down. I'll find some water.
This was a moment when I knew I was going to have to tell you. I crouched there in the long grass at the roadside, sick and wretched, knowing that Niall was sitting calmly in the back seat of your car, watching everything I did. This was his revenge. To follow us everywhere. To watch everything we did. And to taunt us from the safety of his invisibility. Later, as he helped me back into the car, I tried to see Niall. Tried every glamorous trick I knew to let me see where he was. There was a silence there. A dim sense of a human shape. But the sun was glinting against the back window of the car, reflecting from the paintwork. Niall was hidden inside the dazzling light.
Are you okay now? Shall I drive on?
Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
I'll stop somewhere we can park. I need some exercise.
Tell him about me, Susan.
What?
Tell him now. Tell him now.
Tonight, as soon as I can. Let go, you're hurting me.
What did you say?
Richard, please, just drive on.
Tell him to stop at a pub. I need a drink.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
What should we do tomorrow? Do you want to keep going, or should we head back to London?
I want to explain what happened.
It's something to do with a man you used to know, isn't it? Niall. What's going on? Has he got some kind of hold over you?
Yep.
What is it? Is it anything I can help with?
Only by trying to understand.
All right. Explain.
Do you see those women over there? With the dog? Walking by the edge of the sea?
Yeah.
How many are there?
Two.
There were three a few moments ago. Did you notice?
No, I wasn't looking.
But all the time we've been sitting here, you've been staring over there.
Yes, but I wasn't paying attention.
Well, that's the point.
What is?
That most people look without seeing. You were staring at them, but you didn't see them. If I hadn't pointed them out, there might as well have been nobody there at all.
But I've been watching them for several minutes. I knew they were there.
What, just the two of them or all three of them?
There are only two.
Are you sure? Are you absolutely certain there wasn't a third one with them?
Yes. Well, I'm pretty sure.
But not completely.
Okay. And what's this got to do with Niall?
First, do you agree it's possible to look at something without really noticing it?
For the sake of argument, yes.
Well, the point about Niall... It's difficult to make this sound real. He's invisible.
Like the movies. He dresses in bandages and wears dark glasses.
No, nothing like that. This is real. There are invisible people everywhere. But nobody knows they exist. Niall's one of them.
So, when you were a kid, did you have an imaginary friend?
Yes, all kids do, but this isn't the same. Niall's flesh and blood, like you and me. But you can't actually see him. He's not transparent the way they do it in the films. He's really there. And if you knew how to see him, you would. Niall's invisible simply because no one ever notices him.
Even if they know where to look.
Well, that's it, exactly. He's here with us now, probably laughing at me because of the way I'm explaining this. But even though I know he's here, I can't see him.
I think it's time we change the subject. It doesn't make sense.
Does anything else?
Well, you can make sense of most things if you take the trouble.
Richard, what I want you to do is to take the trouble.
Why?
Because of Niall. We left the beach and walked to a restaurant beneath the cliffs. You kept making little jokes about invisibility, as if the idea were ridiculous. I'd never had to explain it before. Until I met you, none of the people I knew had to have it explained. It's all right for me. But for the people who are deeply invisible, they're interested in more important things. How to stay alive, for instance, without resorting to crime. You can't get a job, buy food, find somewhere to live if nobody notices you. For most of us, the novelty of being invisible wore off almost as soon as it started happening, when we were teenagers. After that, staying alive is what you think about. This is why invisible people cling to each other. Why Niall was clinging so tenaciously to me. And if I'm honest, why I was holding on to you.
Is Niall here with us now?
I don't know. Are you, Niall? It means nothing.
There you are, then.
You've no idea what he can do.
He's bugging me. Maybe it's you. I'm getting tired of the idea that some ex-boyfriend still has a hold over you. What's going on, Sue? You said you'd explain.
I'd rather give you examples.
Right, those women on the beach?
No, they were a bad example. There were only two of them, as you said.
I thought so.
Look, imagine you're at a party when you don't know anybody. You're in a room full of strangers. The first thing you think is, there's such a crowd of them and there's only one of me. After a while, you start to notice individuals. Maybe one of the men's drunk and making a lot of noise. One of the women's wearing a low-cut dress. Someone else offers you a drink. Then you speak to somebody, start to relax a little.
If this was a real party, I'd have left by now.
No. Listen. You get introduced to other people, start to make friends. In the background, there are still a lot of people you don't know. As the evening goes on, you meet more and more people. At the end, you go home.
With the girl in the low-cut dress.
I'm trying to be serious.
No.
The thing is, everyone at the party's visible to you, but you only start noticing them a few at a time. There'll always be somebody you don't get to, somebody you never notice.
How do you know?
Well, how do you know you don't?
I don't see why that proves anything. You can't prove a negative.
But that's how it works. Try something else. You go into a room. There are 10 men and a woman already there. As you walk in, the woman starts dancing, taking off her clothes. As soon as she's naked, you leave the room. Now,
why would
try...
I leave?
No, this isn't real. It's an example. Now, after you leave, how many of the men would you be able to describe?
If it's not real, I couldn't describe any of them.
No, but think.
Well, to be honest, I wouldn't have paid much attention to them.
Right. Now, are you sure there were 10?
What if there are only nine? Or maybe there was an 11th that you didn't notice at all?
Look, I object to this.
Why?
Well, for a start, it's all made up. And it's based on sex. I'd obviously look more closely at a woman getting undressed than I would at a room full of men.
I was trying to come up with a good example. Invisibility is helped by distraction.
Okay, but I don't see why this proves some people are invisible.
He's so bloody thick.
What?
I said I don't see why this proves anything.
Oh, give up, Susan. You're wasting your time.
Richard, he's here.
Who?
He spoke to me.
Who?
Niall.
Me.
What, in this room now?
Yes.
He can't hear me. You wouldn't understand even if he could.
I'm trying to explain.
What?
Well, say everything twice, Susan. He might be able to keep up with us then.
Shut up.
Look, I can't take much more of this nonsense.
Richard, I wasn't talking to you.
Make yourself invisible, Susan. I want to talk to you.
Niall, keep quiet.
Now, what's going
on? It's the only way.
He was in my head, speaking into my ear, an insistent, nagging voice distracting me away from you, confusing me. I felt I was going mad, just as you'd said. I couldn't take any more of that, Richard. If I made myself invisible, then at least I'd be able to deal with Niall. I knew I'd be able to make you understand. I let the glamour gather quickly about me, until I knew you couldn't see or hear me anymore. Niall?
I'm here.
I can't see you.
I'm the Invisible Man, remember?
Not to me, you're not.
Now I am.
Don't play with me. Let me see you so we can talk.
This way will do.
The only person I could see was you, Richard. Just a few seconds have passed since I've made myself invisible. But already you're acting as if you'd forgotten me. You acted as if I wasn't there. But not only this, as if I'd never been there at all. As I started trying to talk to Niall, you were putting your legs up on the bed, opening a newspaper we'd bought earlier in the day. I don't think I've ever felt as alone as I did at that moment. I was suspended between the two of you. One I couldn't see, the other who couldn't see me. Niall was taunting me from inside his glamour. And you'd forgotten I was there.
See? He doesn't care. I see him. You see him. I see you. What does it matter?
What? What are you saying?
Let's go, Susan. Come back to London with me.
I can't just leave him here in this room.
Why not? That's more or less how you left me.
That's not what happened. You hid from me and you've been hiding from me ever since. You're doing it now.
I'm here, aren't I?
Oh, why won't you let me see you?
You can see when you know where to look.
Don't start that. Show yourself to me. Niall, are you still here? God. Niall, say something. Or I'm going back to Richard.
I'm still here.
What are you playing at?
You're scared of me.
Yeah, I am when you do this. Let me see you.
I'm not going to, Susan. Not until you promise to leave Richard Gray.
All right. Whatever you want.
You'll leave him?
No. I'll put up with not being able to see you. Are you there? I came to talk to you because... Niall, just leave us alone. I've made a choice. I want to be with Richard. You and I, we just...
We were great together.
No. We needed each other. We both just arrived in London. We were both just finding out what it meant to be invisible. We clung to each other.
You make it sound so cozy.
Niall, I needed you then. And I wanted you too. But that was 3 years ago. I've changed a lot in that time. I've grown up. I want you to let go of me.
Do I hold you back? Are you tied to me?
You're following me around, playing your stupid pranks. I'm with another man now. I've left you, Niall.
Well, as you know, it's not as easy as that.
Will you, for once in your life, do something that isn't completely self-centred?
Mm, but you've had your way. You've done everything you want to with Grey. Very interesting, very sensual. It's exciting what you do with him.
You've been watching me.
I've seen.
I'll kill you for that, you bastard.
Yeah, that's possibly why I don't want you to see me.
Where are you?
I told you.
What? You told me what? All you ever told me were those lies about being in France. You kept phoning me, telling me you were on some ridiculous trip when you were watching me, watching the house.
I was where I said I was.
You weren't in France. I know that, at least.
I was in the same place then as I am now.
I'm not going to listen to this.
Yes, you are. Could you see me then?
You were hiding.
Can you see me now?
You're still hiding.
Then I am the same. Do you think I'm here? In this room? Now? Point to me.
Niall, stop it!
Oh, Gray's about to fall asleep, I see. You've left him too long. If you spend any more time talking to yourself, he will be gone.
Talking to myself?
Oh, aren't you? Muttering to yourself like a lunatic? That's what you used to say, wasn't it? That the glamour was a kind of madness?
It was a kind of madness, Richard. Niall was there somewhere, speaking to me invisibly. I knew he was there, but I also felt alone. He was making me feel mad. That was what he wanted. If I believed I was going mad, I'd go back to him. That's what he thought. Then I had a sudden idea. You'd unpacked your stuff earlier in the evening and it was piled on the floor at the foot of the bed. On the top was your camera. It was only a few inches away from me. Niall had once said, you can photograph invisible people. The camera can see where the eye can't. He hated cameras. I leant down and picked it up, and then rushed across the room and pressed my back to the door.
Susan, don't!
Let's see you, Niall!
I was so nervous, so rushed, that I fired the shots at him without looking through the viewfinder. I got my eye to the lens for the fourth shot. The lens cap was still on. I'm not sure exactly what happened next. There was a rushing movement. Niall shouldered me aside and I stumbled. I fell across the bed on top of you. And the door slammed so hard it swung open again.
What the hell are you doing?
Oh, I was taking some pictures.
What, of me? I thought you'd gone somewhere. Did I fall asleep?
I couldn't resist.
You all right, Sue?
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
I think this is everything.
Could you hold these letters for me? Please get my other key. There's stuff in here.
Well, shall I open the window?
Yeah, all right. Just a crack.
Why did you bolt the door as we came in?
Did I?
Look, I'll get the window open, then I think I'll buzz off home for a while.
I thought you said you wanted to talk.
Yes, I do. Here, let me put this stuff down.
You got the window open, then went back to lock the car. I bolted the door behind you again, because even now I couldn't get through a bolted door without my knowing. I put on some coffee, then leafed through the pile of mail, hoping someone might have sent me some money. There was a letter from my mother, several circulars, postcard, couple of bills, no checks. When you returned to the room, you're obviously still worked up. So I turned away from you and watched the coffee machine as the water filtered through.
So, look, this isn't working anymore. You and me.
It is for me.
What the hell's going on? Half the time I'm with you, your mind's on something else. And when it's not, you keep on going with that crap about invisibility.
It's not crap.
Are you going to start up again, or are you going to listen to me?
Sorry.
Then there's this ex-boyfriend of yours. You said he was over in the past. Done. Now you say he's following us around. Is it finished or isn't it?
As far as I'm concerned. But he won't leave me.
Then either you put a stop to all this or we've had it. Which is it to be?
I'll stop it. I don't want to lose you.
That's not the impression I get.
Richard, I love you.
I don't think that's true anymore.
Yes, it is.
All right. After today, I don't want to hear any more about him and that stuff about invisibility.
But it's real. It matters to me. It matters to you, too.
No, it doesn't. It's drivel.
We both have the glamour, Richard. We're both naturally invisible. Apart from having met you, it's the single most important thing in my life.
All right. Do it now. Make yourself invisible.
Why?
Because I don't believe you.
I'm upset at the moment. It's difficult.
Then tell me...
No. Be quiet a moment. I'm trying. All right. Okay, I've done it.
You've done what?
I'm invisible.
And how come I can still see you?
I don't know. Can you?
Plain as daylight.
But what?
Be quiet. Look,
We've been driving all day. We're both tired. I'm going to go home and I'll phone you in the morning. Get an early night. Think about what you want. We can't go on like this. Do you agree?
Yeah.
All right. Come here. I'll call you tomorrow.
I'll be here.
Niall, are you here? Niall, if you're here, let's talk. Don't play with me. Please. If you're here, say something.
I was almost sure he hadn't come into the room, but I wanted to be certain. I poured myself a cup of coffee and sat down on my bed, cradling the cup in my hands. After 5 minutes, the room was still tranquil, the air unmoving, the sun beating down warmly on my back. Niall wasn't there. It was a luxury to be completely alone. I drank the coffee and picked up the mail that had arrived while I was away. A picture postcard was on the top of the pile. It was a photograph of Saint-Tropez. I flipped it over, curious to see who it was from. The message was written in block capitals and simply said, "Wish you were here." It was unsigned. It was from Niall. It had to be from Niall. Who else would send me a card like this from the south of France? I peered at the postmark and saw it had been posted 3 days earlier. And how could it be from Niall? That was the day I realised Niall was in the car with us, somewhere in England. But no one else I knew was in France. Oh, God. It can't be. I saw him in Richard's car. Now this. I'm mad. I'm going mad. What's happening to me?
You should have gone to France when I said.
Niall, where are you?
I'm wherever you want me to be.
No!
What is it?
Phone! You're wanted on the phone.
All right. Hold on.
Do you want me to tell you a call back?
No.
No, I'm coming.
Have you ever noticed the phone is right outside your door?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I don't mind coming down for it if you're out, but, you know, if you're in...
I'm sorry, okay? What time is it?
About 10:15.
Thanks. Hello?
Sue, it's me, Richard.
Oh, hello. Oh, I'm glad it's you.
Why did you think it was?
Oh, I don't know. I've only just woken up. I must have overslept.
You were out late last night. I tried calling you.
I had to go out. Something came up. Nothing important. I just had to be out for a while.
What are you planning on doing today?
I'm not sure. I was planning to go to the agency. There's work for me. I found a letter from them.
Well, I'd like to see you this evening. And I've got some news.
News? What is it?
I've been offered a job. I'll tell you about it later.
So, did they offer you some work?
Some posters. Probably for the underground. I'd be glad to be doing them.
What are they advertising?
An exhibition at the Whitechapel. Sort of thing I like. What about you? You said you've been offered something.
I'm in two minds about accepting it. It'll mean going away for a while. Maybe 2 or 3 weeks. One of the news services wants a British crew to cover the guerrilla war in El Salvador.
I don't like the sound of that.
Well, it's my job, filming wars. It's what I'm good at. What I know how to do. Shall I take the job?
Well, if you're going to get killed.
I wasn't thinking about that. What about us?
You and me.
If I'm away for a couple of weeks, will you still be here when I get back?
Oh, Richard. Yes, of course. Why shouldn't I be here?
Because of Niall. So, I need to know. Is it all over?
I'm sure it is.
And people say that when they're not so sure.
Richard, I'm certain. Yes, it's over. I love you, Richard. Do you hear me?
Yes. So, I love you.
You just made me spill my wine. Oh, Richard, I'm sorry about all that, about everything. You've nothing to worry about.
I won't say any more about it.
When are you leaving?
Tomorrow morning, someone's coming for me around about 11.
Where are you flying from?
Heathrow, in the afternoon.
So we could be together tonight, then?
Oh, yeah. Your place or mine?
Yours. I always feel safe there. We had to go back to my room first so I could pick up a few things. We went inside, and you stood by the fireplace while I stuffed a change of clothes into my overnight bag. I'd left Niall's postcard there, propped up against the wall. I saw you staring at it, so I took it down and gave it to you.
Wish you were here. It's not signed. Who's it from?
Niall sent it. I found it yesterday. He must have posted it 3 or 4 days ago.
You said that
I know. It doesn't make sense, does it? Just like you said. There he is following us around, and there he is sending postcards from France.
So he was in France all along?
It looks like it. I'm ready to go.
What does it mean? Why are you showing it to me?
I don't know anymore. Let's go to your place.
It's not really over, is it? The thing is, when you first meet someone, you realise there's almost certainly going to be a lover from the past. It's inevitable. It's happened to me before. But it's always been something I could deal with. You and Niall, this is different. It goes on happening, whatever you say.
It was just a picture postcard, Richard.
Oh, yes, I know. Then why did you point it out to me? Why does it still matter?
Because I told you and you wouldn't understand.
You and your invisible lover, the man I've never seen.
That's right, Richard. It was our last night together. We made love, and I tried to prove by lovemaking that everything was as I said. But you were upset, and I was tense. And anyway, nothing could be proved by making love. I stayed with you in the morning until your friend came to collect you from the airport, and then I took the underground and went back to my room. 2 days passed peacefully. On the third day, late in the evening, while I was working, my door quietly opened and then closed. When I looked up, no one was there.
I'm here, Susan.
Oh, God.
No, just me.
Please, Niall, go away and leave me alone.
Only life were as easy as that.
Where are you?
Here. Beside you.
Let me see you.
No. You do it. Make yourself able to see. You know how.
I don't want to know how anymore.
Then you can hardly complain if you can't see me.
Now, it's all over. Just go away and leave me.
Susan, I still want you. I miss you and I'm lonely. Can't we at least talk together? Like we used to.
I don't want to talk to you if I can't see you. Oh. Suddenly I saw a young man, so familiar, leaning against the side of my desk, looking down anxiously towards me. Niall seemed tired, pale, vulnerable, nervous of what I might do or say. He was holding a lighted gauze, and the smoke drifted up through his curled fingers, browning them. I realised that I'd been aware of the distinctive smell since the door had opened. Invisibility is just distraction, the talent of making others fail to notice.
Susan, can we start again?
Niall, it's not possible.
Everything is possible if you want it to be.
I'm not sure I want...
Yes, you do. Please, Susan.
Oh. Niall. That's how it happened. He was thousands of miles away, and Niall was there in my room, pleading with me to take him back. He looked so... I can't explain. Niall had changed. He seemed less hostile, more open, more hurt than I'd ever seen him before. But there's no excuse for what happened. I can't find an easy way to say it. I decided then and there to go back with him, to give him another chance. And that meant... well, it meant that you and I were finished. I knew I'd have to tell you when you came back, but that was 2 or 3 weeks into the future. Just then, alone with Niall, I was able to put you out of my mind.
Oh.
Don't leave me again, Susan.
I won't. I'm so sorry.
I love you.
I'm sorry, Niall.
Richard, everything then seemed to make sense. What had attracted me to you was my belief that you'd free me from the world of invisibility. You were the way out to what I thought would be a normal life. But while I was with you, I was more involved than ever. We never stood a chance. With Niall, though, everything could be left unstated. He knew me as well as I knew him. I needed that break, Richard. I simply wanted to return to what I knew as normality.
I need a drink. Got anything in?
A couple of cans of lager, I think, in the fridge.
No, I don't fancy lager. Pass my bag, would you? Thanks. I brought the local plonk for you. Thought you'd like to try it.
Côte de Provence, 1989.
Where's your corkscrew?
Behind you, in the drawer. You brought this wine in France?
Sort of.
They sell this in the off-license down the road.
Well, cheers.
Yeah. Santé. Niall, what did this cost in, what was the village called?
A few francs.
You went into a shop and paid for it?
Well, you know, I saw it there. Helped myself. The usual.
I thought you said you bought it.
I never buy anything, you know that.
What was the weather like while you were away?
Hot. Why do you want to know?
Hot and sunny. Mediterranean sun.
Yeah, so what?
You don't have a suntan?
Well, neither do you.
I haven't just come back from the south of France.
Did I say I had?
Yeah, as good as. You sent me a postcard.
I did? Well, I must have been missing you.
Don't, Niall. Tell me the truth. Were you here in England following me around when I was with Richard?
Oh, so that's what you were doing. I thought so. You sounded funny on the phone.
You haven't answered.
What do you think?
What do I think what?
Where I was.
I don't know.
Have some more wine.
Niall, answer me.
Were you sleeping with him?
Oh, it's impossible.
Then don't worry about it. It's all over, isn't it? He's gone. I'm here. We're sitting up together in your bed.
Yeah, but...
bygones are bygones. I won't ask you what happened if you don't ask me.
No, you're impossible. You went off in a sulk. You wouldn't let me see you. You made all those weird phone calls.
Bygones?
And now you're giving me
Are you angry with me?
No.
And let's have some more wine. And give us a kiss. It's been a long time.
Niall had changed. He really had. He didn't threaten me. He didn't make me steal. He showed no jealousy about the work I was doing for the artwork agency. In the past, he'd always been restless, making me go with him on his pointless wanderings around London, breaking into shops and houses just for kicks. Now he seemed content to live the way I did. It was a kind of easy contentment I'd never known with him before. I mean, not love. Just the relief of familiarity. And the whole time he was there, I slipped naturally back into invisibility. It couldn't last forever.
Is there any wine left?
No. Should we get dressed and go out for another bottle?
You expecting visitors?
No. Who are you?
People don't visit me.
Oh, God.
Is that who I think it is?
No. It couldn't possibly be. He's in El Salvador till the end of the week.
Get rid of him if it is.
So, are you there?
Where's my dressing gown?
Come, you're not going to let him in.
I have to see him. I can't shout at him through the door.
Sue!
I'm coming, hold on.
You're making yourself visible.
No, I have to. You're not going to do anything, are
Get
you?
Rid of him and I'll sit here quietly till he's gone, okay?
Oh, Richard, it's you.
Well, who'd you think? What's going on?
Oh, I was in bed, asleep.
This time of day?
I was working late, having a lie-in.
Are you on your own?
On my own. Can you see anyone?
I don't start that again. Didn't you get the telegram I sent you?
No. I never saw it.
I tore it up yesterday.
What? No, I had no idea. How are you? How was the trip? Have you finished early?
Niall's been here, hasn't he?
Tell him I'm here now.
Richard, let me explain.
Oh, don't say anything. You don't have to. I suppose I asked for this.
I'm sorry, but it's not what you think.
It's exactly what he thinks.
But you've seen him, haven't you? While I was away.
Yes.
Is that all? Yes.
I felt... Richard, I felt you were forcing me to choose.
Oh, Sue, the hell with this.
Why does he keep calling you Sue, Susan?
Shut up. Richard, no, not you. I'm sorry.
Oh, I've had it up to here. I'm not taking any more of this shit. Goodbye.
Richard, look, we have to talk.
You talked me to death, lady.
Let's hear it, Susan.
I can't. Can I see you this evening?
No, no more. I'm sorry. That's it.
Right then. Bugger off.
It's the glamour, Richard. I can't get away from it. Niall won't let me.
He's a cretin, Susan. What do you see in him?
Shut up, Niall.
Is he here?
How many times do I have to tell you? Niall has the glamour. He's invisible. This is the most important thing in my life. Yours too. We're all invisible.
Get out, Grey.
Sue, what's happening? I can hardly see you. Niall's here, isn't he? Where? Where exactly?
Here.
He's standing next to you.
Well, I can't see him.
You never will.
You aren't able to.
I'm here, you stupid bastard.
Show me where he is. Let me touch him.
He's too quick. Richard, I love you.
You want to touch me?
Oh.
Niall!
Oh.
Niall, leave him!
Oh, well, the hell is up! Up! Get out, Grey! Get the hell out!
Richard, I love you!
Bastard!
Susan. Susan.
My face was pressed into the pillow. I could hear Niall moving around in my room, putting his clothes on. But then he said something and I heard the door open and close. All that remained was a smell of cigarette smoke. Only 5, maybe 10 minutes had passed since you'd left, but already it felt like forever. A great loneliness fell on me, bleak and terrible. It was worse because I knew it was all my own fault. Then, for a few brief seconds, the room seemed more quiet, more tense, a preparation for something that was to come. Richard?
Hmm?
You still listening?
Yes, why?
Your eyes were closed.
I'm tired. I was listening. I like the sound of your voice.
I thought you must have been dozing.
No, I'm comfortable. I wasn't comfortable in the hospital. I could never relax, however tired I was. It's different when it's your own bed.
What do you think?
What?
What I just told you, about what happened. Last summer, you, me and Niall, being invisible and everything.
I'm not sure. Have you invented any of it?
No. All the time you were in hospital, I was going over all that, trying to remember exactly what had happened.
Why?
Because it's what happened to you. During the part of your life that you can't remember. And it's also what happened to us. You and me. I want to try again.
Well, here we are.
Yes. But it all went wrong before, because you didn't believe me about being invisible, about Niall.
Not now. I'm tired.
All right. I'll shut up.
I'm beginning to remember better. Just fragments. Maybe you've helped me just as you meant to. I was listening, you see, but the problem is that although I listen, I can't always believe.
Believe what?
The invisibility. It does make sense. It can't make sense.
No, but that's because you don't
listen
understand.
Listen to me. I'd like it to be true, but I can see you. I've always been able to see you. And Niall...
Yeah. What about Niall?
No. No, you don't want to know what I think about Niall.
You don't believe in him. You never saw him. You think he's a figment of my imagination.
I know he exists for you somehow.
Well, I won't be seeing him again, so let's change the subject.
No, no. You didn't finish. What happened next? After the explosion?
Now, that's the end. That was when you were injured last September. You've been in hospital ever since.
I didn't mean what happened to me. What about you?
Nothing much.
That can't be true. What about Niall?
He walked out of my life. I did see him again for a few moments after the car bomb. It was odd and a bit scary.
What happened?
I was in my room, still shaken by the sound of the explosion. And then Niall came back.
It wasn't me.
What do you mean?
It was in the high road, some kind of car bomb.
Where?
Next to Sainsbury's by the police station. It was nothing to do with me.
Why should it be?
Look, just don't blame me.
Was he involved?
Of course not.
They know who did it. That's what the police told me in hospital.
That was the last time I saw him.
Ever?
Yeah. Ever?
What happened? Let me out the way. I'd have thought he'd have moved in on you again.
Well, he didn't.
Good. I'm glad.
Oh, you're exhausted. Shall we stop talking?
All right.
I left you on the bed. I went to the kitchen for a drink. When I returned, you were asleep. I was still wide awake. It had been a tiring day. The long drive, talking all evening. But my mind was filled with memories. And the thoughts of the future. I was too excited for sleep. I went back into the hall, leaving you asleep on the bed. And I remembered what you'd said earlier. Your impression that there had once been an extra room. Slowly, curiously, I walked down the short hall to the other end, where you said that you thought it used to be. Of course, I found it. And the door to the extra room was ajar. There was a light on inside. I touched the door, and it swung open.
Come in, Susan.
You? What are you doing here?
This is where I live.
In Richard's flat?
Well, that's one way of putting it, yes. On the other hand, you might also say that this is my flat. But I'm not going to quibble. Are you proposing to stay the night?
Not with you.
With him?
Richard's asleep.
Well, don't stand out there in the hall. Come on in.
I'd rather stay out here.
Very symbolic.
What do you mean?
Well, that's always your preferred position, isn't it? Standing a step or two away from me, ready to dash down a corridor to some other man.
That's not fair. Where have you been for the last 3 months?
Here. Waiting for you to come to your senses.
Niall, just leave us alone, will you?
As I remember, it was you who came to see me.
This is Richard's place. I'd no idea you were here.
So you say.
Richard said he remembered another room at this end of the hall. I couldn't see it before, so...
It was invisible.
I couldn't see it, so I wanted to be sure.
Where are you going?
Back to Richard.
He's not there, you know. He never was there. Not literally there. Not ever.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
You know better, Susan.
No. No, you're not going to do this to me. Not now. But Niall had sown the seed of doubt. I stopped outside the door of your bedroom. My hand raised to fling it open. But I froze. I looked back down the corridor to the room where Niall had been hiding. He was standing there in the doorway, staring at me with a mocking smile.
Well, go on. Go back to Richard.
Niall, what have you done?
He's not there. You won't be able to find him.
Have you made him invisible?
He's not
there. Invisibility isn't real. It never happened.
Coming from you.
Believe what you like. Open the door and discover the truth.
If you've hurt him, Niall. I turned my back on him and opened the door. He was there, asleep where I'd left you, on the bed. Your head curled down and arm extended, breathing steadily. I ran in, slamming the door behind me. Richard! Oh. Richard, wake up!
What? What is it?
Oh, I love you, Richard. Oh, I love you so much.
Me too. Oh. What's happened?
It's all right now. I went to check. The other room you said you remembered.
What?
Don't you remember? This afternoon.
You've lost me. What other room are you talking about?
Oh, it doesn't matter. It's not there anymore.
You woke me up to tell me that.
No. To tell you I love you.
You get your clothes off then. Come to bed.
So at last we slept. I nestled up against you, feeling your heart beating steadily and comfortingly. I drifted off to sleep, but later in the night I woke up because I needed to go to the loo. I pulled on a t-shirt and walked across the darkened room to the door. I must have left the light on in the hall, because I could see the edge of the door outlined by light. I started to tremble, but I was determined not to let Niall or even thoughts of him intimidate me again. I opened the door quickly and went out into the hall. Everything was still. I walked nervously to the far end of the hall, to where Niall's door had been, and looked closely at the wall itself. I ran my hand over the new, smooth plaster. I felt the tiny line that you thought might have been the outline of a door. I tapped the solid wall. No door was there. No door ever had been there. I closed my eyes and leaned thankfully against the wall. It was over. Niall had gone. I would never see him again. After I'd been to the loo, I went happily back to the bedroom. I reached up to switch off the hall light and happened to glance down on the floor. There was a cigarette end there, ground out crudely against the carpet. I picked it up and touched it gingerly. The tobacco of the cigarette was dark and loosely packed. A ghoul was. The black end where the ashes were crushed was still hot. It had been ground out only seconds before. I don't care anymore, Niall. Flipped the horrible thing down the stairs. I switched off the hall light and went back to the warmth of our bed.
In The Glamour by Christopher Priest, Tilly Vosborough played Susan, with Nathaniel Parker as Richard and Linus Roach as Niall. The neighbour was Melanie Hudson, and the director was Janet Whittaker.